Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we've been doing a series on supernatural means of guidance and all the different aspects of the supernatural means of guidance. Hopefully by now you're beginning to embrace the whole concept of being objective about your relationship with God, that this is not God's idea of faith is very often very different than what we are taught is faith. Very often, and this is something I can say personally, this is what kind of started me on the whole pursuit of knowing God, was when I had questions growing up in the churches that I attended growing up, they, instead of answering them, I simply was told that I had to accept a certain doctrine by faith. And I had a hard time doing that when things didn't make sense to me. And I'm not sure where I learned it, but somewhere along the line, I got the idea that if there was a God and he was what he was purported to be, that he would be able to make himself known to me and answer those questions. And so I challenged him, said, Lord, God, if there is a God, I believed there was, but when your answers, when your questions are not answered by those who you respect and are supposed to be leaders and representatives of God, I was open to the possibility that I was being deceived by my emotions, by my desire to believe, to know a God, for there to be a God. And I was open for that. But I wanted to know, and by experience, and not just know about. If there was a God, I wanted to know for sure. And I gathered from all my questioning of all those in leadership positions and counseling and friends that the only way I was going to know, get those questions answered, was to hear from God himself. And so that was my challenge, just, Lord, reveal yourself to me. You know what I need to know to be able to have a relationship with you, in order to accept you, in order to know that you're real. And I just believe that if you're God, you're going to be able to overcome whatever hindrances there might be in me that might be keeping you from revealing yourself, making yourself real. And he answered that challenge. He accepted that opening, and a little bit at that time and much more over time has made himself real to me. So I no longer, I hate to say it like this, but I no longer have faith in God, because I have a concrete belief by experience. And this is where we want to look at having an objective relationship with God, being able to say, this area, I don't know him very well, this area, I know him better now than I did a year ago, and this area, I'm doing pretty good. I seem to be really progressing, and to be able to have goals, and projects that we're working on to be able to know how you're doing, if you're hearing from him, if you're on the right track. These are all things we don't want to take. We don't want to have a standard that is so low because we revert back to that catchphrase, by faith. You just have to accept it by faith. You just have to accept that God is real by faith. You just have to accept that God is leading you by faith. That's not what he wants. And very often we get that message from those who that's all, from the leadership, that that's all they have. They don't have a real relationship with God. But don't settle for less than everything that you want out of your relationship with God. Now, you may not even know what you want, and that's fine too. God does, and your spirit does. This is why we always come back to being objective about the simplicity of being available and letting God do the rest. The more time you spend with him, the more work he does on sharpening your senses and removing your flesh. And those are the strongholds we deal with. Our enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. And through Christ, we have already overcome the world system and the devil. Our challenge is a very personal one. It's our flesh, our soul retaining control to do things its own way. We've used the illustration of having a brick wall or a stone wall, whichever kind of wall you want to have, a steel wall, separating our soul from our spirit. And we needed that wall to protect us until we received the spirit renewal, and then we have in our spirit everything we need for life and godliness here. But the soul has to be willing to let that wall be removed so that eternal life can flow from spirit into soul. The more time you spend with God, just being there, you don't have to be praising him. You don't have to be looking for a teaching. You don't need to be trying anything. Just be in his presence, quieting your mind, your heart, your emotions, your will, learning how to do that, and then just being with him, waiting in him, in his presence, waiting with him, waiting on him. And he will do the rest. So this whole idea of supernatural means of guidance is simply another avenue that spirit takes in order to work on removing that wall, teaching us to sharpen our senses, teaching us to recognize his voice, teaching us to test what we hear, teaching us to live as spirit beings. And this is kind of a scary concept. Jesus, as he was here on this earth, for the 33 and a half years or so he was here, 2,000 and some years ago, he had to learn how to live on this earth as the Son of God. Now, in that process of learning, guess what? He made mistakes. Otherwise, it wouldn't be learning. It would be something that he just automatically did because he learned learned obedience through the things he suffered. So he learned. There was a process there. So you and I, we're fine. If we're learning, if we're making mistakes, we're on the right track. So as we participate in what God is doing in our lives and drawing us to and teaching us about, as we embrace, okay, this is training. This is what God wants me to be doing right now, whatever that is. And it may just simply be waiting. What an opportunity to just rest and let him do the work, the deep work that needs to be done in all of us. And this is part of our challenge, is that we've, especially the Western Church, is so pressured to perform. There's the idea that if you're not producing or contributing or have a visible proof of activity, then you're not active for God. You're missing something. God can't be happy with you. When very often it's the exact opposite. And many times in my history, well, one thing I strongly remember is there was in any church there are cycles, that the teachings go through. There's, Israel and foreign missions and the gifts of the Spirit and then healing and then, tithing and different topics. And then there seems to be, you just go through that cycle and then it starts over again. Well, the particular church I was belonging to, there was a real, it was absolutely true ministry of gifts that were being taught and exercised, and someone brought a relative, one of their relatives, that was very clearly demonically, I won't say possessed, but definitely influenced, and did not have the wherewithal to do anything on their own. And so everybody knew that this person was going to be bringing his brother, so we were all prepared. There had been fasting, there had been preparation, anointing of oil was there. And everybody did everything they knew to do and did not come anywhere near touching this young man. But he got there maybe 6, and by 10 o'clock, if anything, there was a greater control of this demonic presence over this young man's life. His mind and his body were both very heavily influenced. Well, fortunately, the pastor recognized that everything had been tried. There was nothing else he could do. Fortunately, he had a phone number, and he called someone that he felt could take care of this situation or give them some direction on what to do with this poor young man. And he got there at about 20 minutes. It was about 20 after 10. And by 10:30, the man was free. And the gentleman came in, took the man into another room so he wouldn't be influenced by what was going on in the other room. Evidently, he asked the Lord what needed to be done. It was done, and the man was free. And so everybody went home. And this is what we want to make sure that we are doing, that we aren't trying to do God's work out of our own flesh, out of our own strength, out of our own good intentions, our good emotions, our good desires. Now, absolutely everybody learned a lot about what not to do. And then, of course, everybody was interested in why, just as we have examples in Jesus' time, why did, you know, we prayed for hours and nothing happened, and you prayed for 10 minutes and he was free? Well, there are answers to that. And this particular gentleman's was, I didn't pray. I just asked the Lord who did. Was this a time for this man to be freed? He said, yes. What do we need to do? And he told me, and we did it, and that was done. Now, that man came in having already done all the work. But that work was his lifestyle. He came to the service already knowing he could hear from God, already knowing how to test what he heard, and already knowing God knows what he's doing, already knowing how to wield the authority God had given him. So when he did what he did, it was no big deal. And that's where we want to be. We want to be so aware of what God is teaching us that every circumstance, that's all it is. It's just part of God removing that wall between our soul and our spirit so that we would be one, spirit, soul, and body. Now, there's more to that example, and I've gone into that particular example in other lessons and other programs, so I don't want to spend too much time on that. But God is gracious. God knows what we need and what is necessary to bring us to giving up our control. And that's different for each one of us. And whether it's great or small, doesn't matter to him. There's no contest here. He just wants you free. So be encouraged. Wherever you're at is exactly where God wants you to be. So we're starting a new approach to the supernatural means of guidance. We're going to start talking a little bit about responding to and interpreting supernatural means of guidance. Now, in previous programs, we've talked about the 8 steps to engaging the supernatural. And that was just basically getting used to how the supernatural realm works, getting used to approaching the supernatural realm in general. Now we're going to talk specifically about responding to and interpreting supernatural means of guidance. And for our purposes, we're going to talk about 9 steps to responding to and interpreting supernatural guidance. If you have another approach that works, and by working, I mean brings you into greater dependence on God and is bringing you into freedom and healing and health and hope. If that's working for you, that's fine. This is the approach God has taught me. And I just want, I'm sharing this with you. So this is not to say that if you've learned it from somebody else, if it is bringing you rest, if the other approach is bringing you into dependence on God, if it's strengthening you, if it's making your soul want greater control, greater performance, then that's not from God. Because God always God doesn't like to share his throne. He's the only one who knows what's best for you. Now, he shared that with your spirit, but your soul is going to want to stand up and say, no, wait a minute, I can take it from here. I know what it takes to please God. I'll do this. Well, that's not from him. That's not what God intends for us. So there's 9 steps to responding to and interpreting supernatural guidance. First, make yourself available to receiving supernatural guidance. And again, do this objectively. It may feel or seem or sound almost childish at first, but go ahead and say some of these things out loud. Let the Lord know you are trusting him to lead, guide, and direct you in any way he chooses, and that you will pursue and take this training seriously as a way to learn to know him and his ways. And you may need to remind yourself of this on a regular basis. What is the purpose of your training? To know him. To have confidence that you're hearing from him. That you know how to test what you hear. And that you're learning how to exercise the authority that you already have. So let God know you're taking it seriously, and then take it seriously. So step 2 is be prepared. When you make yourself available to God, have a notepad and pen ready, or a recording device or whatever. But some way, be ready to give the Lord your attention if he requires it. Now, don't worry about how he might respond. God knows and approves of how he created you. So you are free to respond as yourself. If something's scary, if something's humorous, if God speaking to you startles you, don't worry about it. Never feel awkward or ashamed of your response to God. Be yourself. You are yourself. God knows you are yourself. He made you that way. You never have to hide from him or try or pretend to be something other than who and what you are. He gave you the soul that he gave you, what you have right now, and he marked it good. He didn't give you any second-class materials. He's quite happy with what he gave you. It ain't broke, and he ain't going to fix it. So don't worry about it. God's not criticizing your emotions or your intellect, your mental capacity, or your decision-making, your strengths, your weaknesses. He's not criticizing any of that. He gave it to you. He crafted you a particular way. So you can relax. Let yourself off the hook a little bit. Third, be objective. Be quiet internally. And as much as possible, physically. Now, stepping back a little bit, we're kind of assuming that this is a general approach. But there may be something very specific you're wanting to hear from God about, that you're really seeking, okay, God, I need to know which direction to go in. Well, as you are tuning your senses, one of the things you'll probably want to do is, with God's counsel, pick a time to do these things. to set aside a particular time, a particular place, a particular frequency, how often to do it, to go through this process, to join God in the process. So be objective, be quiet, and internally and as much as possible physically. Take note of how you feel and what you see, but don't get distracted by details. Again, we're talking about supernatural means of guidance. You have in the supernatural encounter of God telling you, you're seeking him, I need to know about this decision, and some kind of a supernatural occurrence happens. This is how you approach it. What did you hear, whether audibly or internally? What did you see? How did you feel? Just write it down. Don't worry about any interpretation yet. Fourth, confirm that the supernatural manifestation is from the Lord. For instance, when you awaken from a dream or a trance, ask the Lord right away, Lord, is that you? Once confirmed, continue observing. That's when you can start writing things down. If it is not the Lord, determine its source and deal with it accordingly. Number five, ask for the interpretation. Only the Lord himself can interpret his message. It is not your responsibility to figure out or discern the meaning. The interpretation may or may not be related to the manifestation's magnitude or the content. That's fine. The goal is to depend on the Lord for guidance, not to figure out a pattern of how he leads and guides. One of my favorite examples is where the prophet saw the lampstands with the almond branches with the lampstands. And the angel asked them, what does that mean? And the prophet says, I have the foggiest idea. And the angel basically, you know, looks at him like, okay, well, gosh, if you should be able to, anybody can figure this out. And he says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Now, there's no way you'd be able to, or should be able to, be expected to be able to come up with that interpretation outside it being given. So we remind ourselves that these manifestations are to get our attention. So we give our attention. But then we enter a conversation, a communion, a relationship with God. The interpretation may not come at the same time he gives the direction. Unless he directs to, don't seek an interpretation, understanding, or an explanation elsewhere. Wait for him. God is jealous over what is precious to him and seeks those with whom he can keep company that can keep his secrets. So we want him to be comfortable knowing we are available to him and respect what he is doing in our lives. We also remember that supernatural guidance is available to believers and non-believers alike. But only Christians, because of their personal relationship to God, have direct access to his interpretation. Just because someone has had a supernatural encounter or can provide an appropriate interpretation doesn't mean that they have a personal relationship with God and have therefore heard from God. Fortune tellers don't rely solely on the demonic and occult to get direction, but have also learned how to tap into their own soulful senses without the benefit of having them quickened by God. So we'll pick it up there. We'll probably want to spend a little more time next week there and then move through 6, 7, 8, and 9 next week. Until then, if you have any questions or feedbacks or back or comments, drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org. It's always good to hear from you. There's a contact form there as well. So have a great night. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Thanks for tuning in.